This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Make me alive again. Give me a fresh start. So check my heart, please. Wash the filth away. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to another episode of The Power of Dhikr. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the etiquettes of dhikr. Those manners and those etiquettes, those things that we need to do for our dhikr to get the maximum reward and for us to be successful, for our dhikr to be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for us to remember Allah in the way that He wants us to remember Him, we need to bear in mind certain etiquettes. And just like there are etiquettes for dua, there are etiquettes for dhikr. And these etiquettes for dhikr, we're going to look at them from within one ayah. And this ayah, we've already discussed it in previous episodes. But today we're going to look at the ayah from the point of view of the etiquettes of dhikr, the means and the mannerisms, the way that we should approach our remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفَةً وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ وَلَا تَكُمْ مِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ. And this is the beginning, the command to be from those who remember your Lord. And we said one of the most fundamental evidences for the importance of dhikr and the value of dhikr in the life of a Muslim is that Allah Azza wa Jalla commands you in several places in the Quran to be from those who remember your Lord. So Allah says, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ. Remember your Lord. Be from those people who do dhikr. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the first etiquette that we're going to look at. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ. Remember your Lord to yourself. And the meaning of to yourself is not that you don't say it with your tongue, not that you don't speak it, you speak it. But that it is to yourself. It's not a big screaming at the top of your voice. It's not about gathering lots of people together in unison. It is a simple matter of remembering Allah to yourself. Much as if somebody said to you, read a book to yourself. If you were reading to yourself, you would perhaps hear a sound, but it would not be the kind of noise, the kind of screaming and shouting and loud sort of noise. It's not an adhan. It's not us, you know, trying to let everybody hear. وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ. Remember your Lord to yourself. تَضَرُّعًا. And the meaning of تَضَرُّعًا in this ayah is that you humble yourself before Allah, that you act with humility, that you remember the need of you for Allah Azza wa Jal. This kind of need and this humility and this lowering of yourself in front of Allah, this is the essence of worship. And this is the meaning of worship in Islam. Al-ibadah. Worship in Islam is for you to lower yourself and to humble yourself before your Lord, to recognize your weaknesses and to recognize His perfection. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this sort of lowering of yourself, this acceptance, this understanding, this admission that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is perfect and that He, without Him, you cannot be successful. And without Him, you would be not be able to be guided, you would not be able to have any kind of success or any kind of good. All of the good that comes to us comes from Him. And the fact that evil doesn't befall us comes from Him. And this recognition and this acceptance is what Allah commands us to have when we remember Allah. So when we remember Allah, we remember Allah humbling ourselves before Allah, lowering ourselves before Allah, acting with humility before Allah, recognizing that Allah is Al-Ghani, the one who doesn't need anything, and that our worship only benefits us. It doesn't benefit Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. It only benefits us. So this recognition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Lord, this humbling and lowering of ourselves in front of Allah, and this is the highest station that a person can achieve in this dunya, to lower themselves before Allah. If you lower yourself before another human being and you act with humility and you are humble before another human being, this is something which is very low in the sight of the people. It's very, very, it lowers your status. But when you humble yourself in front of Allah, when you lower yourself in front of Allah, when you admit that you are weak and you have no ability and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinitely powerful and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the source of all good and Allah is the reason why evil hasn't touched you, when you lower yourself and humble yourself before Allah, this is when you achieve the highest status that mankind can achieve, being a slave of Allah, being a servant of Allah, and not being a slave and a servant of the people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, وَذْكُرْ رَبَّكَ فِي نَفْسِكَ تَضَرُّعًا وَخِيفًا. And khifa here, it means in fear. Because when you call upon Allah Azza wa Jal, you call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the fear of your shortcomings, that you haven't necessarily done everything right, with the fear that maybe your deeds won't be accepted, with the fear that if Allah wanted to punish you, it would be just. And your guidance relies upon the fadl of Allah, the virtue and the bounty that Allah gives you and the blessing of Allah, and it is not from your own self. And when you realize that you really deserve the hellfire and you actually deserve to be punished and you haven't done anything which is worthy of the mercy of Allah, then you call upon Allah and you remember Allah in a state of fear. Because you realize that you are a person who has many shortcomings. Both you and I, both of us, all of us, we have so many shortcomings. And so these shortcomings, we fear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will perhaps not accept some of our deeds. When we sin, we fear that there's going to be an effect of that sin upon us. And maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept some of the things that we do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands a believer to be in this state. However, you don't let the fear get to a point where you despair of the mercy of Allah, because Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الظُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. O my slaves who have transgressed against themselves, do not despair of the mercy of Allah. Allah forgives all sins. So you do have fear. You do remember your sin when you remember Allah. You do remember your shortcomings. But you don't let it get to the stage where you are despairing of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us in the ayah from the etiquettes of dhikr, وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ, without raising the voice, without being especially loud. And this tells us something very important. It tells us that our dhikr should be with our tongue as well as with our heart. We don't sit inside of our hearts and simply say, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, in the heart. It has to be in the heart and it has to be with the tongue as well. But when we do it with the tongue, we do it in a low voice. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to us in an authentic hadith, Ya ayyuhan nas, arbi'u ala anfusikum, O people, be remember Allah to yourself, or be soft, lower your voice, be calm and be tranquil in your dua, lower your voice in your dua. فَإِنَّكُمْ لَا تَدْعُونَ أَصَمْ وَلَا غَائِبًا. You're not calling upon somebody who is deaf, nor are you calling upon somebody who is absent. You're not calling upon someone who is deaf, nor upon someone who is absent. إِنَّ الَّذِي تَدْعُونَهُ سَمِيعٌ قَرِيبٌ. The one that you are calling upon him is Sami', he hears everything. Qareeb, he is near to you in his knowledge of everything that you do. He is near to you, subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite being above the heavens, above his arsh, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is near to you and his knowledge surrounds you. And he hears everything you say and he sees everything that you do. أَقْرَبُ إِلَىٰ أَحَدِكُمْ. He is closer to one of you than the neck of his riding beast. You know, you're riding on a beast, on a camel, and you think that, you know, that the animal is very, very close to you. Allah Azza wa Jal is closer to you. He hears everything, he sees everything, he knows everything. And he, subhanahu wa ta'ala, is above the seventh heaven, above his arsh, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that does not stop him from being near to us, Azza wa Jal. From the manners of and the etiquettes of dua that we benefit is that we remember Allah with our tongues, and we don't necessarily remember Allah in the heart alone, but that the heart and the tongue are engaged. And this is what we understand from the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَدُونَ الْجَهْرِ مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. Also, what we benefit is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ, in the morning and the evening. And this tells us that from the etiquettes of dhikr is that we remember Allah all throughout the day. And in every circumstance and every situation in our life, we remember Allah Azza wa Jal. So we never go through a stage where we're not remembering Allah. We remember Allah when we wake up, when we go to sleep. We remember Allah in the morning and the evening. We are constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Bedouin, who said that the matters of Islam, the halal and the haram and the shara'i, the rules and the regulations of Islam have become many. Tell me something that I can do. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, keep your tongue wet with the remembrance of Allah. Constantly remembering Allah, bil ghudu wal asal, in the morning and in the evening, no matter what time it is during the day, no matter what situation you're in, you're constantly remembering Allah. And then Allah Azza wa Jal tells us, wala takum min al ghafirin, do not be from those who are negligent, heedless of Allah, forgetful of Allah. And we've talked about this in a previous episode. So we're not from those people who forget about Allah Azza wa Jal. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues, and Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the following ayah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِهِ وَيُسَبِّحُونَهُ وَلَهُ يَسْجُدُونَ. Indeed, those people who are with your Lord, i.e. the close angels, the beloved angels to Allah, they are not too proud to worship Him, and they glorify Him, and they prostrate to Him. And some of the scholars, they said that these angels, the purpose of Allah Azza wa Jal mentioning these angels in this ayah is to encourage you to do more and more worship. You hear that the situation of the angels, and they are those who are beloved to Allah, they are those who don't disobey Allah, their situation is that they are not too proud to remember Him. And this pride is a reason why many people forget the remembrance of Allah. They're too engaged in their own selves, they're too engaged in their own lives, and so they forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should not be like that. And it encourages us that because they are worshipping Allah all of that time, and they are so engaged in the worship of Allah that whole time, then we also need to try as much as we are able to do to be engaged in the dhikr of Allah. So these are some of the etiquettes of remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based upon this ayah. And I do hope you will join us for a future episode of The Power of Dhikr. Jazakumullahu khayran. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wash all the filth away and change my dead heart. Make me alive again. Give me a fresh start. So drink my heart, please. Wash the filth away. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray. Don't leave me drowning here, alone and astray.